I suppose if I hadn't been so involved with Augusta over the past 8 years, I'd have gotten around more, gotten to more festivals, and had an opportunity to meet many of the musicians who have been legends in my mind. So I was really excited when I found out Rory Bookbinder was going to come to Augusta this summer, because I always wanted to meet him and hear him play. And we've been doing a lot of the same kind of things over the years, you know, chasing older musicians around and trying to learn from them, but that's too long a story to tell here. Anyway, Roy, I'm glad you're here today.
Well, thank you very much. One, two, I'm glad to be here. I had reservations about coming to this wild week in the country, but it's been a lot of fun.
We're glad you made reservations. There was a long time. A lot of people aren't coming here this summer.
Good thing we did. You didn't reserve a copy of my latest hit album, We're Almost Out. I only got about 200 left. They're out in the motorhome right out the door with everybody. People that reserve them get them first. Both things I'm going to play, well, maybe one of them. Hard to say. Not much time to tell it, is there? Merle Travis was one of the great American guitar players. I remember when we didn't have to say American. We only knew about American guitar players. From Western Kentucky, there was a great tradition of guitar playing, starting with a black musician named Arnold Schultz, an unlikely hero, who played the fiddle and guitar, and they say anything with strings on it. He was one of the early examples of the interchange of white and black musicians. I don't think there's many bluegrass festivals that would allow a black musician to be there today. They wouldn't hire one. However, the roots go way back. Bill Monroe's Uncle Penn, the famous man who the song was written about, Uncle Penn used to work in a string band with Arnold Schultz back in the early 1900s. Arnold Schultz got into playing the guitar with a thumb, and it caught on and drove people crazy there in Kentucky. Kennedy Jones learned how to play from Arnold Schultz, and Mose Rager learned how to play from Kennedy Jones, and Ike Everly, the Everly brothers' father, learned how to play from Mose Rager, and Merle Travis learned how to play from Ike Everly and Mose Rager, and he was the only one with the courage to leave the state, and he got famous. Then Chet Atkins took it a step further from Merle, and the rest is history. I met Merle Travis at the Philadelphia Folk Festival years ago, and it was quite a thrill for me. We got to play music together, and I was down parked by the performer's tent there, and I woke up early in the morning. I heard this great guitar playing coming from the tent, and I kind of peeked in the flap of the tent, and there was Merle Travis all by himself, so I just watched and listened. He didn't know I was, well, I never knew I was into that. Great. 20 minutes went by and he saw me looking at him and he gave me one of these here. So I walked in and he said, "What do you got there, son?" I said, "That's my guitar." He said, "Let's see." So I showed him mine and he showed me his. He said, "Let's pick some old time blues, Roy." That's what he called me. So we played for about 25 minutes. It was probably the greatest music ever played in Philadelphia up to that time. I'm not going to say what happened after we left. And Mrs. Travis came by and looked in the tent and gave Merle one of these. said, "We're going out to breakfast, Merle." They left me sitting there all by myself. So I was playing guitar, looked up, and there was a young guitar player looking at me. So I give him one of these. "So what you got there?" And he showed me his. That part's not true. Up until Mr. Travis came by, it's the God's honest truth. I went home to the motorhome and I put on a pot of coffee and changed my guitar strings, and I was getting ready for the day and started playing like a demon in there, being so psyched up from this world experience, you know. And I said to myself, "This, take it easy, son, take it easy." Threw me. I said, "This is an amazing thing, an amazing thing. You spend 30 minutes with a great artist and it can alter your entire approach to music." I haven't seen Merle Travis since that day. I don't know how his style might have been altered, but it's something to ponder. We all influence each other. This is called 3x7, and it's a Merle Travis song. It's not done really in his style, but it hints at it. And that's how my style developed. I couldn't play like anybody, so I ended up with my sound. I hint at it. A lot of Reverend Gary Davis chords in here, and I really only hinted those, but it works. It's called 3x7. Do as the doggone please. There ain't nobody this side of heaven gonna get me on my knees. I'm 3x7, and I'm gonna have my fun. I said it just won't ain't gonna be the same, 'cause I'm 3x21. I'm a big duck in the puddle, don't you try to mess with me. You know that I don't come in like no doggone lion, go out like a doggone lamb. Yep, 3x7, and I'm gonna have my fun. Said it just won't take, gonna be the same, 'cause I'm 3x21.
Get me on my knees. gonna have my fun. Said it just won't thing gonna be the same till I'm 3 times 21. For my second number, I'm gonna do an instrumental piece that is kind of like something we taught in our course that was the Black Dog Blues, but I'm not gonna sing it, the sound's not too great here. And I'm tired.
And lazy.
And going home too. Yeah, right after my show, I'm gonna start to pack up, so if you didn't get your record, stop by. I'd like to ask Eric, an old friend and guitar playing partner, to pick on this one, if he would. It's good. We're going to do the A rag, and we're going to step it up, not real, real fast, too early in the morning. So just play it till we screw it up.
Our guitar workshop. We have another workshop coming up at 2:30, so we're going to give this stage a little rest here.